We're in Lekutei Sichas Chelek Aleph Parshas Behar, and the Rebbe is commenting on the beginning of the parsha where it says, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'Har Sinai Leimor." Hashem spoke to Moshe on Har Sinai, saying, "Daber al bnei Yisrael v'amarta aleim, ki savoyu al ha'aretz sh'anochi nosein lachem, v'shavsa ha'aretz Shabbos l'Hashem." When you enter the land that I'm going to give to you, the land shall rest on a Shabbos for Hashem. Sheish shanim tizra sadecha, for 6 years you shall plant your field. Vesheish shanim tizmar kamecha, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard. V'yasaftes tvuasa, and you shall gather your grain. Uvashana shviyas, but in the 7th year, Shabbos Shabbos in yil aretz, Shabbos l'Hashem. There should be a total rest in the land, a Sabbath for Hashem. Sadcha loy sizra, your field you shall not plant, the karmecha loy sizmar, and your vineyard you shall not prune. The Rebbe immediately asks Rashi's question, Ma inyan Shemitah etzal Har Sinai? What's the connection of Shemitah and Har Sinai? And the Rebbe suggests that the idea of Shemitah is that Shemitah is a mitzvah klolis. Shemitah is a general mitzvah. Shemitah is an exemplary paradigmatic mitzvah, and that's why it's associated with Har Sinai. What's the idea of Shemitah? Shemitah, or the sabbatical year, represents the idea of elevation. It represents the idea of going inward. It represents the idea of taking a break from the natural world, taking a break from the hustle and bustle of daily life, and connecting to one's higher self, connecting to one's higher values. It's almost a monastic, spiritualized time. But the idea is that Torah and Judaism is not ultimately a monastic religion. Torah is about engagement with the world, but it's also something of a dialectic. And the point is that on the one hand, it's important to have that 7th year as a time of rest, as a time of reflection, as a time of elevation, and a time of going inward. But that has to be balanced with the 6 days, with most of our time being involved in being engaged in the world and being involved in productive activity, world-building activity, even if that activity is mundane. And one empowers the other. The time of Shemitah, the time of the sabbatical, the time of Shabbos, allows us to reconnect with our higher selves. But reconnecting with your higher self, reconnecting with spiritual ideas, is not a virtue in its own right. It's only relevant, it's only meaningful, because we can take that elevation and bring it into the daily world that we live in and elevate the world, make the world into a more illuminated place, make the world into a more divine place. And the Rebbe says this idea of Shemitah being by Har Sinai represents that Shemitah is the exemplar of all mitzvahs. All mitzvahs are meant to, on the one hand, elevate us, but on the other hand, they're also meant to be vehicles for manifesting the divine down here. So now we understand why it is that Shemitah is associated, Shemitah is mentioned right after Har Sinai. Because Shemitah represents this paradigm, this paradox of, on the one hand, elevation, of being above the world, and on the other hand, drawing that which is above the world into the world as we are engaged with the world. The Rebbe asks, what empowers us to live in this paradoxical consciousness? What gives us the power of paradox, that we can be both in the place of elevation and in the place of below? What allows to be both in the place of unity, in the place of the Torah, and in the place of multiplicity, in the seemingly mundane, separated world? The Rebbe says this is the message of Har Sinai. The Medrash tells us in Medrash Tilim that when the Torah was going to be given, all the mountains proverbially came to Hashem and they asked that the Torah be given on them. And Hashem told all the other mountains, I'm not giving the Torah on you, I'm giving the Torah on Har Sinai. Why? Because the Medrash says Sinai was machach mikol Torah. It was lower than all the other mountains. The Rebbe asks, this is very strange. If it's the case that Sinai's virtue is that it's low, the Torah should have been given in a valley, or at least on a flat plain. Why give it on a mountain? So the Rebbe says, Sinai represents this paradox of being both high on the one hand and low on the other, of being able to connect to the above and being able to connect to the below. And the Rebbe says, this is not just a matter of spiritual attitude, of connection to elevation and connection to the below. But it's also an ethical teaching on how you're meant to be when you engage in Torah study and when you engage a Jewish life, when you live as a Jew. On the one hand, you're meant to be a mountain. You're meant to have self-esteem. You're meant to have confidence. You're meant to have intensity. You're meant to have strength. You shouldn't be bashful. You shouldn't be ashamed of your agenda. But on the other hand, you need to live life with humility. And how are you able to do that? Because you realize that what you're being strong about, what you have confidence in, is not your own ego and is not an unwarranted confidence in yourself. But rather, your strength and empowerment derives from the fact that you are expressing, that you are living, that you are the conduit for Hashem's Torah and Hashem's agenda, for the divine agenda. But on the other hand, you're suffused with a great degree of humility and realizing that you yourself are not that great. You yourself do have flaws. And that's why the Rebbe says it's so important that we say Torah came from Sinai. After all, Hashem is present everywhere. But what's significant about Sinai is that Sinai represents this paradox of, on the one hand, the high, and on the other hand, the low, the divine and the mundane, strength and confidence on the one hand, and humility on the other. And that's also why it's the case that we make such a big deal that the Torah was given through Moshe. After all, the Rebbe says, it's ultimately Hashem's Torah. Who cares who gave the Torah? It could have been Ezra. It could have been the 70s of Canaan. But the Rebbe says, the idea of Moshe is that as the Poskim of Midbar tells us, Va'ish Moshe ono mikol adam ashal pnei adam. Moshe was the most humble man. Moshe was more humble than anyone else on earth. So here again, the Rebbe says, we see a person embodying the paradox of Sinai. That on the one hand, Moshe could be so great, but on the other hand, he could be so humble. And that paradoxical strength came from the fact that he realized that all of his virtues were ultimately God-given. They were all gifts. They weren't his own virtue. They all came from Hashem. And by cultivating that awareness, he was able to, on the one hand, be a very effective person in the world, be a transformative individual. But on the other hand, he was also incredibly humble. So now we understand why it is that we read Parshas Bahar right before Shavuos, and why the idea of Shemitah is mentioned by Har Sinai in Parshas Bahar right before Shavuos. Because Shemitah represents the paradox of integrating elevation with the mundane world. And Har Sinai also represents the paradox conceptually of integrating the elevated world with the mundane world. And the psychological paradox of, on the one hand, being an active person, being a person who has an agenda, and a person with force of personality on the one hand, and with humility on the other. And that, says the Rebbe, also explains why it is that we read Pirkei Avos during the 6 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos. And that's because Pirkei Avos tells us how to be an ethical person, how to be a good person. Pirkei Avos cultivates humility, and it also cultivates character traits which allow us to be positively empowered when we need to be empowered. And Pirkei Avos also begins with the line, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. The Torah is associated both with Moshe and with Sinai, because Moshe and Sinai are the paradigms of this paradox, of elevation on the one hand, and mundanity on the other hand. Of force of personality and intensity on the one hand, and humility on the other hand. So the lesson for us, says the Rebbe, is that in order to receive the Torah with joy, and to receive a Torah that will transform us, we need to first open up our minds and our hearts to receive the power of paradox that Shavuos gives every year automatically. As the Alter Rebbe says, Tanya Perek M'Zayin, there is a special spiritual energy which illuminates the world when a Yom Tov comes to the world, and we need to open ourselves up to receive that spiritual energy. But not just are we meant to receive that great energy, we're also meant to actively work on cultivating this paradoxical ability to, on the one hand, be humble, but on the other hand, express force of personality in living and manifesting the Torah's values on the world stage.